On the bulletin, it says Jean Ross Weimar Choir. Somebody asked me backstage, oh, is Pastor Ross singing with the Weimar Choir? The answer is no, we don't want to ruin the Weimar Choir. We're just very delighted to have the Weimar Choir with us today. And they're going to be bringing us special music scattered throughout our worship service today. There'll also be some sharing that'll be taking place a little on from a guest speaker. But just before we have the Weimar Choir come up, as mentioned, Pastor Doug is in Australia, and I think our team's got the picture. And there it is. He's, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's in Adelaide this weekend, and he's speaking there. He did multiple sessions. He will be in Melbourne next Sabbath. So we just want to send greetings to Pastor Doug and Karen. They might even be watching now because of the time change. If they are, God bless Pastor Doug with your meetings and greetings from the Granite Bay Church. I'd like to invite the Weimar Choir to come forward, and they'll lead us in our worship service. Thank you.
Christ be praised. What does the church say? Amen?
Amen.
Is Jesus worthy of our praise? Come on. He is worthy. Can you imagine angels singing before the throne? They don't tire of worshiping him, do they? I bet they don't come to the Lord's presence and say, well, who's preaching today? No. They just delight in his presence, don't they? It's a gift, you know. Whales have their songs. Birds have their songs too, but humans can sing in harmony. Isn't that a blessing? It is. Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our King, he humbled himself. Humbled himself and died a very cruel death on the cross so that we can have eternal life. He knows each of us by name. Isn't that something? He's not delegating this to somebody else, some angel. No, no. He himself is involved in the salvation. Isn't that powerful? So the song we're going to sing is about that, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that he sacrificed all so that we can have eternal life. Recently, we conducted a congregational singing study at Weimar. And so we asked the participant, the congregants, what they thought about singing songs during the worship hour, just like you do. And so we noticed that some of the participant mentioned that they particularly enjoy if the worship leader draws allusions or makes associations between what he or she is saying and the song that they are singing. This is why I'm saying a few things in between, by the way. Now, they also mentioned that if it's not interesting, they better just skip that and go straight to the song. So I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible and make it relevant to what we're singing. But the next song that we're singing is a very soft song. It's a calm song. And it talks about our relationship with God and the benefit we have of praying and that He delights in answering prayers. Isn't that a wonderful concept? That we can come to Him and He's happy for us to ask Him questions and come with our supplications and come with our intercession. He says, I long for that. And so perhaps it was such a busy week for you, maybe even such a busy morning that you skipped that part. So as we're singing, maybe you want to connect with the Lord and say, I actually want to pray now. And so as we're singing, we're also praying together. And may this be your prayer, that the Lord Himself would teach you His ways so that you know how to walk each and every day. Thomas More really loved his wife. Oh, they were a precious couple. Anybody love their spouse here in this audience today? All right. By the way, this is my wife, and she is pregnant. I know some of you are wondering, whoa, what's going on in the college right there? No, it's okay. I'm married to Janelle, and we're expecting our firstborn son. And we appreciate your prayers for that. They say that genetically, you know, the genes of music kind of continue. No pressure, son, but... Well, Thomas More, he was married also. He loved his wife. He really did. And it was during a very severe time where many had contracted smallpox, a very disfiguring disease. And she was also ill with that, and she did not think that she was worthy anymore to be looked upon by anyone, including her family, including her husband. She would lock herself in the room and would not come out. She would just not want to be seen. When she was hungry, they would leave the food in front of the door, and when they would then leave, she would get it and she would eat. But she just did not want to be in touch with anybody. So her husband was thinking, how can I express to her that I love her no matter how she looks like? regardless how she looks, I love her. So he was thinking, and his thoughts went back to the Bible. Now, that's a good suggestion, right? When there's problems, let's go to the Bible and see what the Word says. So that's what he did. And he pondered on the sanctuary. And he thought, wasn't there a sanctuary? And when people came, they received healing and they were cured. And so he thought about that, and he wrote a poem. And he wrote a poem for his wife, and he slipped that poem under the door. And his wife read the poem, and she was touched by it, and she opened the door, and they were reunited again. Wow. So we're going to sing the song, and if you are in that situation today where you say, I'm struggling. People try to comfort me, but it's not really working. You are disconsolate. Very strong word that is used in this song. You feel disconsolate. You feel like you're languishing away. Well, if that is you, then this song is for you. Keep in mind that Jesus is there, and he can offer healing and cure, and that he is preparing a feast for us. He loves us, regardless of how we look like.
Ooh.
want to say thank you to the pastoral staff and this church. It's not typical that preachers allow others to take the sermon time. That speaks for this church, and we appreciate that very much. God the Father, He also allowed somebody else to take the spotlight, if you so will, and that was His Son, Jesus. That concept becomes more real to me now that I'm expecting to have a son. But He sent His only begotten Son that we do not have to perish, but have everlasting life. So we're going to sing about that. And one of our singers, Stacy Philpott, she is going to sing a solo part that you will hear. And there's going to be somewhat of a tension, that tension of the world wanting to do its own thing and God wanting to save the world. And then, of course, there's the choice that you have and that I have. Will we want to reciprocate that love, that wondrous love that God has shown to us? That's the question. Nobody's forced. We are invited. Enjoy the song. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. the chamber singers had the privilege of touring, of course, in the state, outside the state, and also across the pond. We went to England. And so there we were, and we were singing several times. And we had an evangelist with us, Narlan Edwards. You will hear him just in a moment. And when we had made arrangements to go, some of the locations we wanted to sing at were hesitant. They didn't know the group. And said, wow, we would really like to sing. So they said, well, can you send us a recording? So the next song you will hear, that is typically the recording that we would send. I remember one particular time when we were waiting for the bus because some of the members didn't want to use the tube. So they said, well, let's go on the double-decker bus. So we waited for a good 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It was later now. And so by the time that we were actually in the bus, some of the members were rather tired. Others were just now waking up, right? And so there we are. And I started singing on the bus. My own chamber singers looked at me, and some of them were somewhat embarrassed that I would start singing in the bus. I see some of them here today. And so as we were singing, or I was starting to sing, some others joined us singing. And so we sang, and by the time we were done with the song, there were at least two people that wanted to know where they could listen to that song again online, and if they could come to the concert. It was amazing. We like to share the song with you because chances are that there's somebody here today that is afraid of something. People may not know it, but you may fear something. And so there's one thing that Jesus says we do not have to be afraid of, and that is that he is our God and that he has redeemed us. He calls us by name and we are his. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about that. He loves you. And so if you need that reminder, and if you know somebody who needs that reminder, you may want to record the song now and send it to them. Do not be afraid. He has called you by name. You are his.
Do not be afraid. Well, let me say good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. My name is Narlan Edwards, and I serve as the TCI Director of Weimar Institute. Now, a few years back, our church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, launched a program called TMI, which stands for Total Member Involvement. And the leadership there at Weimar had another vision, or similar vision, entitled TCI, in which we involve our entire community. So the acronym stands for Total Community Involvement. And what that simply is once a week on Wednesday afternoon, our entire college and our academy on Friday mornings, we shut things down, and we dedicate our schedule to go on out and being like Jesus by helping those who are in need in the community. And I've been blessed to serve as the director of that program, and it's been a rich blessing. And you know, if you want to learn more about it, we have quite a few videos on our website and so on and so forth. And I'll encourage all churches to begin to implement this. I've been traveling and seen many churches implement it, and it's been a very successful endeavor in all the churches that has done it so far. Amen? I have a short homily this morning, which is a response to the song, Do Not Be Afraid. Father, we invite your presence once again before we open your words. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 9. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. There's a question that God asked Adam and Eve. And he says, where art thou? Where art thou? Now, this was the second question that was asked in the Bible. And this question, my brothers and sisters, is not an ordinary question. This was a question that was based on redemption. Where art thou? Where art thou? This was a despairing cry from the melted heart of a loving Savior. Where art thou? I can imagine the tears trickling down his face and his voice trembling in anguish as he cried out, Adam, where art thou? This was no ordinary question. This question was not based upon geographical location, but spiritual separation. And God is crying out and saying, Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you? And if there's someone here geographically this morning, but spiritually separated from God, God is calling you by your name as he cries out, where art thou? See, there was a spiritual disconnect between God and man. And in response to the first question that was asked in the Bible, where Lucifer, Satan himself says, has God said? That first question, my brothers and sisters, was designed to create doubt, death, degradation, desperation, ultimate separation, and as a result of that question being answered by Adam and Eve, God had to ask them another question. Where art thou? Where art thou? That second question, where art thou, was a question based on redemption and restoration. But the problem that we face is that most of us, we want to be redeemed, but we don't want to be restored. We want to be revived, but we don't want to be reformed. We want to be justified, but we don't want to be sanctified, because reformation and sanctification and redemption, that means that there has to be a change in our lives. That means a change of ideas, a change of theories, a change of habits, a change of practices. And when God asks a question, Adam, where art thou? He's saying, Adam, where are you spiritually? I know where you are. But where are you spiritually? Do you recognize, Adam, that there's a need now for change? See, after sin, my brother and sister, they were fine in their own eyes until they had to stand before a holy God. It wasn't until they stand before a holy God that they realized that their fig leaf garment was not enough. is not before they stood before a holy God until they realized that their own righteousness cannot cover them. But it took them being in the presence of a holy God. Isaiah finally realized it after finding fault with everyone else, after he saw God in his glory. He says, not woe is them. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Are we realizing, my brother and sister, the need to be in God's presence? It is only when we're in God's presence that we begin to realize how messed up we are. In verse 10 of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God says, Adam, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The song says, I have called you by your name. You are mine. I have redeemed you. I love you. I've called you by your name, Adam. Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you? And I can imagine, my brothers and sisters, that the man that God molded and he shaped in his own image, the one that God visited on a daily basis, and they had communion, he's now running and hiding from God, and God is saying, Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you? We normally commune at this time, Adam. Where are you, my friend? And Adam says, I was afraid and I had to hide myself. And that's what sin does, my brother and sister. Sin is a separator. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And what did God do, my brothers and sisters? He said, though Satan has won the battle, you have not won the war. Praise God, my brothers and sisters. He says, no, we're not going to leave you in that condition. He said, Adam, you are mine. I've called you by your name, Adam. You don't have to hide. Do not be afraid, Adam. I love these words. But man was not abandoned to the results of the evil he had chosen. Before they heard of the thorns and the thistle, of the toil and the sorrow that must be their portion, or the dust to which they must return, they listened to the words that could not fail and give them hope. All that had been lost by yielding to Satan could be regained through Christ. Praise God. Everything that you've lost, we had a plan in place, Adam. We knew that this was going to happen. Do not be afraid. But I want you to realize, in order for that redemption to take place, a lamb must die. Let me rephrase that. In order for that redemption to take place, the lamb must die. Do we love him, my brothers and sisters? Do we love him? If you find yourself separated from God, if you find yourself in a position where you are afraid, remember, the Lamb has died. And Jesus, how great thou art.
After that song, you just want to join them singing, don't you? I do. So why don't we do that together? And we'll sing the song that is displayed in your bulletin. 34, Wake the Song with Joy and Gladness. And after that, I'll ask Pastor Ross to have a benediction for us, and we will sing a blessing over this congregation. If you want to be blessed, you can stay and hear that blessing as well. And let's sing now. I think it'd be appropriate for us to stand so we have the best lung capacity. We can sing out in harmony. Wake the song, wake the song.
Into your presence without fear because of Jesus, because of the Lamb that was shed, his blood shed for our forgiveness and redemption. Father, thank you that we have voices that we can sing our praises to you. And thank you, Lord, for your glorious love. And we ask your special blessing as we go our separate ways. May the joy and the song in our hearts continue through this coming week as we lift our hearts in praise to our Creator and Redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Again, we'd like to thank all of you for joining us here this morning, and in a special way, we'd like to thank the Weimar College Choir and Erwin for just drawing our hearts closer to heaven this morning. And as mentioned, they do have a benediction that they'll be sharing with us in closing. And again, God bless you.
Sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your feet, and until we meet again, until we meet again, may God until we meet again, until we meet again.